The Reconstructionist Radio Podcast Network presents Abolitionist Radio, equipping Christians to abolish human abortion.
You can't buy my silence. You can't steal my voice. You can't keep me quiet. I will bring the noise. Try to beat me down. Tell me to shut my mouth. But there's a time to speak. And the time is now. You can't buy my silence. You can't steal my voice.
And welcome back to another week of Abolitionist Radio. We want to end abortion in America today, now.
3,000 a day, the greatest evil of our age is in our hands.
3,000 a day is how many were murdered today and every day this past week. So here we go. Let's get equipped. Let's become doers of the word. And this is Scott Herndon on Abolitionist Radio. Thanks for joining me on today's program. I am actually going to play back an interview I did last week on the Mark Kreslins Show. Mark Kreslins is K-R-E-S-L-I-N-S. And Mark does a program on VeritasRadioNetwork.com, the Crusade channel. It's a premium radio channel that you can subscribe to and get a lot of quality programming, including Mark's show. Mark's background is he used to be a senior legislative assistant on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. for at least two congressmen starting in the 1980s, and he has since learned that we are going to get nothing done in Washington, D.C., and the only chance at instituting a Christian worldview of righteousness in civil government is on a state-by-state basis through the exercise of state sovereignty. So you'll hear Mark's expertise as he interviews me here in this program. Mark is an evangelical Christian. He actually resides in Norman, Oklahoma. I do highly commend people to take a look at his website and take a look at VeritasRadioNetwork.com. And let's go ahead and jump right in. I missed the first brief part of the introduction of his particular episode where I joined him, and so I start in right where I join him as a guest on his program. Here we go.
I'm doing great, Mark. Thanks for having me today.
Yes, well, I am thrilled to have you on the air here today. I got to tell you, when I found out about your efforts up there, I live in Norman, Oklahoma, so I'm obviously aware of the folks, the AHA folks down here, and the good work they're doing down here. And to see what you guys, kind of the next step you guys are taking up there in Idaho, I couldn't wait to get you on the air here and talk about what you're doing up there in Idaho and progress and how people can help and things like that. But let's start off right out of the gate here. You've got a petition out there right now. My understanding is it's to convert at some point into a referendum vote. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly what this is an initiative petition, which is similar to a referendum. A referendum is something the citizens can do to undo legislation done by the Idaho legislature. An initiative is citizen legislation. So what we're doing is we are circulating an actual petition that contains legislative language, and then if we get enough signatures in the state of Idaho, it will place on the November 2018 ballot an actual yes or no item, whether or not you want this legislation to be law in the state of Idaho. And if it gets a simple majority at that time, it becomes the law in Idaho.
To me, this is the route to go, Scott. My background, I used to work on Capitol Hill as a senior legislative assistant for two members of Congress. I've been involved in pro-life activities for 35 years, and I think largely we have been working a failed strategy for those 35 years that I've been involved, because the focal point was always Washington, D.C. fixing the problem. And again, having worked there, I've always known there is no way that's going to happen. But yet, absent any other ideas, we went with the ideas that we had. They're just, as I talk about on my show, Scott, quite a bit, we all remember from the 9/11 terrorist attack, one of the parts of the report that came out about the intelligence community is that they lacked the imagination to believe that something like that could actually happen. So they didn't ever scheme against it. They didn't protect against it because they literally lacked the imagination to think somebody would board planes and fly them into a building. Well, I see the same handicap in the pro-life movement, if you will. And I'm no longer calling myself pro-life. I'm more in line with what you guys are doing as an abolitionist. But I see the same We suffered from the same thing. We lacked imagination. And I'm very excited about what you're doing up there because in a way it kind of it sets down a new strategy. And so I'm looking at your petition here, and it's a fairly complicated petition because you're revising some existing code, right, in your state statutes?
We are, and I can simplify.
Can you go through that, please?
Easily.
Okay, please.
So it's quite simple. Over the 44 years since Roe v. Wade, the state of Idaho has essentially tried to regulate abortion within the confines of judicial rulings. So right. We've tried to conform to federal courts and state courts as they have allowed us, which sounds ridiculous and stupid to me. Now, I'm kind of like you. I've come to these ideas, and I don't know why it didn't occur to me 10 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
So we have two chapters on our books, which is chapters 5 and 6 of our criminal code, which is Title 18. And basically, those are the totality of our abortion regulations. Fortunately, okay. In Idaho, it's fairly simple. We put everything in two chapters. So it's really easy to get rid of all of the meet this condition and then you can kill the baby, meet yeah. this condition and you can kill the baby. In fact, one of the chapters we're repealing, chapter 5, is the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, which Idaho was one of the first states to pass in 2011. Mm. And, of course, a federal court enjoined it right away, and the Ninth Circuit affirmed it. So there you go. We're playing that game yep. where we pass legislation to essentially try to curtail abortion, and a yep. court slaps it down. And, in essence, we haven't managed to make any progress against the court. So right. what we're doing here is we repeal all of that legislation. If I were a legislature, I'd probably do a two-step process, but we're just going to do it all at once. We'll just get rid of all of the regulations. Yep. And then in our criminal code, aggravated battery, we have an exception in the criminal code. You cannot prosecute a woman or an abortionist yep. who commits an aggravated battery against a child while they're in the middle of killing the child, the preborn yep. baby. So we amend that code to repeal that exception. And then in the murder code, interestingly enough, in Idaho, which is chapter 40 of our criminal code, we actually define murder. We're one of 24 states that rightly defines murdering an embryo or a fetus to be a murder. And so if you're a father and you kill your pregnant wife and she dies and the baby dies, we had a guy here in 2012, just 20 miles down the road from me, and he got charged with two counts of first-degree murder. However, then we have this section, which is 18-4016, where we say you cannot prosecute a mother or an abortionist for yep. killing the preborn baby. So that same lady that got killed that day could have gone down to any Planned Parenthood or any abortion clinic, murdered her own child, and would have escaped prosecution. So we don't say it's not murder. We just say there's a prohibition on prosecution. So we repeal the prohibition on prosecution, and then we add a new section that provides for the prosecution. Now, I could have stopped there. I didn't have to provide for the prosecution, because if I repeal the prohibition, then we're good to go. But I wanted to better define the preborn person, who this all Smart. Includes, the methods by which they get killed, and that it is for the performance or procurement of the abortion that makes you susceptible to the murder prosecution.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you're really on to something here. And as you know, we in Oklahoma last year, we had an ill-fated effort to use a technicality in our state statutes down here over regarding the regulation of medical licensure to essentially block providers from being able to provide the service here. It wasn't strategically done in a way that ended up being effective because, as you just alluded to, our governor hid behind the Supreme Court. And part of that is I'm looking at your Constitution, Scott. I'm sure you're aware of Section 3 of your Declaration of Rights. You've got a very similar Declaration of a Right that we do. That is going to be an obstacle that we're working on down here dealing with as well. Your Section 3 says, state The Section 3 of the Declaration of Article 1 Declaration of Rights says state inseparable part of the Union. The state of Idaho is an inseparable part of the American Union, and the Constitution of the United States is the supreme law of the land.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you and I both know that the political leaders are always going to hide behind these statements because they're going to say, as you know, the Supreme Court has ruled on this, and in our state constitution, Idaho and Oklahoma, the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. Now, it's obviously, it's not. We know, I mean, you and I can make the argument that the Article 6 is not an all-encompassing article of the United States Constitution. It was in pursuance thereof, as Article 6 actually reads in the U.S. Constitution. And it's hard to make a case that abortion is in pursuance of the Constitution. It's very hard to make that case. But be that as it may, that is an obstacle that we all have to deal with because most state constitutions have this in there. How are you guys addressing what is inevitably going to be the section that I love what you're doing because you're classifying abortion for what it is. It's murder. And you're forcing it to the statutes now to recognize that baby as a baby that's been murdered, regardless if it was by malice in an attack or the mother going in and having an abortion. I think these are the types of arguments we need to make, by the way, very morally clear. And from our perspective as a Christian, an argument that actually aligns itself with the scriptures, thou shalt not murder. And so I think these are great arguments to make. But what are you guys going to do with this Section 3 of your state constitution?
Well, I don't think we need to do anything with it because it literally says, just as Article 6 of the U.S. Constitution says, that the Constitution of the United States is essentially the thing that every elected official binds themselves by an oath to uphold as the supreme law of the land. And it doesn't say that the judiciary is the ultimate arbiter of what that Constitution says. In other words, it doesn't bind our officials to obey the judiciary's interpretation of the Constitution. And in fact, in history, Thomas Jefferson has effectively argued, many people over time, even Abraham Lincoln effectively argued, that the proper check and balance, and you'll see in Article 6 of the U.S. Constitution, is that the judiciary is bound to the same Constitution. And if a legislature of a state and an executive of a state believe that the judiciary has erred, it is their duty, I believe, under Article 6 of the U.S. Constitution to ignore or defy the judicial ruling on that subject. And I think it's very clear, Article 1 of the Idaho Constitution and Amendments 5 and Amendments 14 of the U.S. Constitution very clearly say you can't deprive a human being of a person of life without due process of law. And then, of course, you got the Ninth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution and the Tenth Amendment, which says the Ninth Amendment, just because we didn't specify that, hey, by the way, that includes the preborn, doesn't mean we don't retain that as a right. And that was the whole point of the Ninth Amendment, is we don't have to specifically enumerate every single right that we possess inalienable from God to essentially stand on that right. And I think in the end, you've got the judiciary without any police power, without any prisons, and without any military against the legislature and the governors, the executive branches, who possess all of that power, and they can simply just ignore the judicial ruling and defy it. And I think that is the proper course, and that is their duty, in my opinion. I don't think the founders of this country expected that we were going to have a judicial oligarchy, essentially a coup d'etat, just because all of these other people were going to bow down and worship the Supreme Court of the United States.
So we've been, you know, we're talking generally about this idea of nullification, the states nullifying, coming out of Jefferson and Madison's principles in 98, Kentucky, Virginia resolutions. And actually, as you probably are aware, Wisconsin, the Supreme Court essentially nullified the Fugitive Slave Act and essentially said, no, we're going to openly defy you on this. If you can get here, you're a black person, you can get here, you're going to get protected here. So we've seen history that this can occur, although we both know with the Kentucky Virginia resolutions, they didn't actually work. Though there's more research coming out that there were more states that were backing that than just Kentucky and Virginia. That set aside, we know that nullification has worked already in the in the American Union. Recently, as you're probably well aware, Colorado and Washington essentially nullified federal drug law in their states. Now, they're getting away with it, and this is how I always phrase this with Colorado. Right now, they're in open defiance to federal drug policy. Now, whether or not you agree with marijuana or not, if you support federalism, you support that this is a union and not a nation, then you have to embrace that Colorado, the people of Colorado, had the right to do this because there's no constitutional authority for federal drug policy. So here they've gotten away with it now for 3 or 4 years. We have an AG coming up that is that has been very overt in stating that he intends to enforce federal drug laws in California and in Colorado. Now, there's going to be some tension there. We don't know how that's going to play out. Back to Idaho. In theory, everything, I agree 100% with what you're saying. And the strategy, I get it 100%. What is going to happen? Okay, so let's say the referendum passes up there. Let's say you get the signatures you need, and I'm praying that you do. Believe me, you have no idea, since I learned of this, how many times I've gone on my knees and asked God to really empower you guys up there. You're a small state. You can get a lot done. You could lead by example up there. So let's say the referendum succeeds, and you get the signatures, you get it on the ballot, it passes by one vote, or let's say it passes by, you know, an overwhelming majority. What are the next steps? How many abortion clinics, by the way, do you guys have in Idaho?
So technically speaking, we actually only have 2 surgical facilities in the state of Idaho doing about 1,400 or so abortions a year. We have a number of women in the state of Idaho who go across state lines because they're closer to abortion facilities out of state. But then we have all of the chemical abortions, which our initiative would also cover, and that's going to be everything. And that can be in any city, frankly, that you're going to have things included under this bill that you can get in every small town in Idaho. So those are all going to be affected.
Okay. All right. So let's roll the clock to 2018. You guys have been successful, and the statutes are modified. The Constitution is not modified, but the statutes are modified. What is the next step? What does that compel the agencies, your executive agencies, law enforcement to do in your state?
Yeah, so the next step, believe it or not, in my opinion, is I've kind of thought this out, prayed about it, looked at all the laws. In essence, we are going to have to convince the executive branch and the legislative branch, all the way down to the prosecutors and sheriffs, to enforce the legislation. Because even if we have something on the books, they're going to have to do their job, and I'm hoping that if, let's say, we're successful, so we'll go with that scenario, so we've got 50% plus one or more of Idahoans, and they know what they've just done. They've just defied federal law by passing this initiative. They're going to have to put pressure. There's going to have to be a lot of citizen activism against their state officials to comply with their will. Now, I think if they do that, because I think that's going to take, it could be overnight. See, we're also counting on the movement of God, obviously. We think if we do what God wants us to do, that he will be in it, that there will be his power behind it. But in essence, it could be overnight, or it could be over a process of time, that we get them to stand up to the federal government. Now, the federal government is going to have to figure out, they're going to take some time to say, hey, Idaho's done this thing that goes against the courts. See, our agents, our legislature, our governor, they've got to tell our attorney general and our attorneys that represent the state of Idaho that if someone draws the state into court now on this thing, that they're going to have to defy. They're either not going to show up and they're just going to ignore the court. They're going to ignore court orders. They're going to defy it. And so that's going to take a lot of education. So I think the big deal is along the way as we gather the signatures, and then once we're actually advocating for this at the ballot box, once it looks like it's going to be on the ballot, then we have to be making that entire case that we're educating all those people that they're going to have a role to play and that the citizens will back them up if they do that, and that's what the citizens want them to do. Now, what I'm counting on is I think there's pent-up demand across the country for this type of legislation.
Yeah.
There are a lot of states that don't like abortion, and they're tired of putting up with it.
Yep.
And if half the country, you mentioned marijuana, 18 states at least have medical marijuana laws that go against the federal government.
Yep.
And so when you get a number of states involved, now, I don't think it's a matter with the federal government, well, we're not going to be able to use military force. there's always going to be the financial aspects. Idaho is going to have to be willing to pay the financial cost should the federal government decide to exercise the power of the pocketbook to try to get us to comply with their unrighteous mandates of their courts. And so I think it's going to be a battle of influence, of teaching people, showing them the light, in essence. Yes. And expecting that God's Holy Spirit will move upon people in our land. And I love that we're doing this in Idaho because it is a small state, 1.6
yep.
million people. I think this is where we should be able to get it done.
I love it. I love that that's the state that's going to lead out on this. If other states follow, you know, that's going to be really good. There's a famous Supreme Court case that actually restricts the we discovered this down here because we had to deal with these kind of questions as we went forward with our idea down here that we're going to resurrect in some other fashion here in the near term. But there's a famous Supreme Court case, and I think it was during Rehnquist when he was the Chief Justice, that essentially ruled against the federal government using coercive financial powers against the state to compel them to exercise federal power in their state. So we actually had that. I can't remember it off the top of my head. I'll get it to you. But we actually had this in our back pocket to say, hey, listen, you guys cannot. You cannot throw threats of financial punishment on us, at least based on this Supreme Court case. Whether or not they do or not, that's always as you and I both know, we're in arbitrary and capricious government land at this point. We're not really in this this idea of a constitutional republic. It is what it is. What they want it to mean, whenever they want it to mean it. So it remains to be seen what they would actually do if a state actually openly defies them. But your trajectory is the exact right trajectory. I talk about this on my show all the time here, by the way, Scott. We're talking to Scott Herndon, by the way. He's the spokesman for an organization up in Idaho that is seeking to end abortion totally up there. I mean, there's no exceptions in this. This is redefining abortion to what it truly is, which is murder, and we're just going to have to get comfortable with that topic over time. He's a spokesman for Abolish Abortion Idaho. I'm going to put it up on my Facebook page after this, my show is completed today, and we're going to do whatever we can to be supporting you. So let's talk a little bit more about the strategy. Okay, so we're past the 18th of or November of 2018. It's been approved by the voters. Your legislature is growing a spine. Let's hope that that happens. We, like you, we are going to be trusting in God's providence here, but we want to believe that God's going to blow wind in these sails. So you've ended abortion in the state. For those 1,600 people that believed that was their constitutional right, what's your answer to them now that, if that's being repeated every year down here in Oklahoma, we kill somewhere between 6,000 and 8,000 babies a year. We've thought about this down here and said, well, those 6,000 or 8,000 people are going to show up again because they've been doing it the last, 44 years here. What is the church response? What is the community response? What is the Idahoans for Life response or your organization response to those 1,400 that are going to show up and think they can get an abortion?
Well, that's a great question. So, of course, they're not going to be able to go anywhere if we're successful and get one in the state of Idaho. But here's the thing I think it offers the church in particular. If we want to be a help to people that are in the unintended pregnancy camp, so that's obviously a major component of people who go get abortions, then I think that gives us a tremendous opportunity then when abortion is no longer an option because it carries a first-degree murder possible penalty, which people generally try to avoid life in prison. You know, you're weighing in the balance. Okay, I want to get my college education, so I don't want this child, so I was going to go kill it, but that actually would land me in prison, and I'm only 20, and I'd be in prison the rest of my life. You know what? Right. I better figure out what to do with this. And I think that gives the churches, and the church has to play a big part in this whole thing. It is completely, in my opinion, dependent upon the church. Yep. They have to live out their convictions. They've said all along, many of them, that they believe abortion is murder, so they have to live out that conviction. And then the next steps are they're going to have to step it up and provide resources for people and help people deal with their pregnancies and the babies that they were not intending. They need to continue to reach out better into the community for a higher level of morality. I'll give you another one. The legislature is going to have to convene, and they're going to have to make adoption and other things easier in the state of Idaho.
Yep.
And less expensive. In other words, so the church and the state are both going to have to step up their game in so many ways and assist people that would have considered abortion, because that's no longer going to be an option. And we have to keep them on our radar. We have to be on the lookout for those people. And believe it or not, they can go into adjacent state, Washington state. I mean, I'm not expecting Washington state is going to criminalize abortion as murder by 2018.
Right.
And they could just go across the border. You could picture a facility opening down near Boise, just across the border in the state of Oregon, to allow people to go over and get their abortions there. We can't control that. We are responsible for our jurisdiction, and we need to do the right thing before God and rid our land of blood guilt and our jurisdiction, and then we need to become more active in our community and in our state as a church.
Hear, hear, man. I'll tell you, I'm so glad I got you on the radio here with me, and we've got a bunch of Idahoans that listen to my show, listen to the network, and this, I wanted to make sure they knew you were here and that they will connect with you. So you've got this petition circulating now. I love your website. It makes it very easy to figure out who's where and what you need to do. How are you doing? How long has this been actually out there for public consumption?
This has only been out there for public consumption for less than 3 months at this point. And the good news is we have 15 months to get these signatures. So we only need 56,192 signatures. We've got all the way until April 19th of the year 2018. So we have spent our initial effort so far reaching out to ministerial associations of Christians around the state.
Yes.
And we've also reached out to legislators, because we're already beginning the process of educating them about what their responsibility is going to be when we are successful. And we have had numerous churches, thank God, embrace the petition and are advocating for it. And so we actually have, I don't know exactly how many signatures because they haven't been all mailed in, but I've been told of churches. I know a church that has at least 400 signatures, and I haven't
That's
even received
great.
Those signatures yet. So I know we have way over 1,000. And more people are hearing about it. It just hit the news a little over a week ago. People down in the south part of the state have been contacting me and arranging to get involved, and we've got a bunch of stuff that's about to start. I think we could have the signatures done by the end of this summer, and then we can make the case for about a year to convince the voters.
Yes, yes. I love your strategy, and like I said, I love your website. It makes it very easy to know where how many you need by county. You've got a cool map towards the under the petition tab down towards the bottom. That if, for those of you listening to the Mark Roslin Show here on the Crusade Channel, by the way, welcome all those who are listening in on the preview channel. This gives you a chance to get a taste of what I do here in the Mark Roslin Show. I've got Scott Herndon from Abolish Abortion Idaho on the line with me. He's the spokesman, and I'm going to keep hammering this topic as regularly and as routinely as I can. And for those of you in the listening audience that are from Idaho, you need to go to their website, abolishabortionid.com, and connect with these guys out there. You need to sign these petitions. If you live in Idaho and you're listening to the Mark Roslin Show, I'm going to cut you off if you don't sign this petition. I'm just kidding. You guys will naturally want to do that. But this is exciting news, folks. This is stuff we've been talking about now for years. This idea of restoring federalism by a state leading out and openly defying Washington, D.C. on this abhorrent idea of state-sanctioned murder. And let's be honest, that's what we have here since Roe versus Wade. We've got the government sanctioning murder. Well, folks, you're not going to fix it in all 50 states. That's just been a horrible strategy. Sadly, I spent way too many years believing that was the way to fix this. It was all states or nothing. I allowed the false choice of all or nothing to permeate my thinking, and it was all Washington, D.C. Well, now you've got one of the smaller states in the union, Idaho. Hopefully Oklahoma will be following soon. We've got a few other states I'm aware of that are working on things in their state. All of them are moving towards ending abortion completely in their states. And that is the debate for the Christian community here in this hashtag exceptional American union we live in. And the Christian church must lead on this. We are called by God to rescue those who are being led to slaughter. And every day in my state, here in Oklahoma, 30 babies are murdered every day. And we drive by those clinics, Scott, as I know happens in Idaho as well, though obviously you don't have the same, you have surgical centers that can perform them. We have abortion centers, unfortunately. I don't know if you heard the great news down here, but because of our failings last year with our legislative effort in hiding behind the Constitution and our governor refusing to sign our bill, not that it wouldn't have worked anyways because the courts would have just locked it up, but because of that outcome, Scott, we have a new abortion provider that advertised they plan on aborting, murdering 2,500 babies a year.
Wow. Is that the one in Oklahoma City?
Yes, yes. That's the one that just opened. And, you know, shame on us because I don't know. I've actually did look at the Pew Research to see what your numbers were, how Christianized your state was. That's kind of a loose term that I use to describe the states. And you're not as Christianized as Oklahoma. You know,
no, we're not. In fact, our case, in a way, versus Oklahoma is a little harder to make except to appeal to people's consciences. Believe it or not, in Idaho, the Roman Catholic tradition and the Mormons, essentially the Mormons, have about 200,000 constituents, and the Roman Catholics are 160,000. And so we've got to reach out to the Mormons. We've got to reach out into the Roman Catholic community. And the Roman Catholic community is going to be a little bit hard only because they actually traditionally, and they head up a lot of our Right to Life organizations, do not like the idea of punishing the mothers. They've always tried to make the case that the mother is another victim of abortion. Oh, no. And so they don't like that at the outset, and we've got to break through that barrier.
Yeah, that is a barrier. We run into it down here. It's the, you know, and this has been one of the downsides of our, I think, misplaced compassion. I think it's compassion, but I think it's misplaced compassion of making the mother the victim in this. And there's only one victim in abortion. It's the baby. It's not
That's
the mother.
Exactly right.
And it's not the father. It's not the doctor. It's the baby who's getting torn apart. And so we have a lot of work to do there, even within our own communities. I'm an evangelical born-again Christian. I'm the Crusade channel here on the Veritas Radio Network. There's Mike Church, who's kind of the flagship show of our morning show. He's a very devoted Catholic, and he may be somebody that might be able to help in some way up there in Idaho. Certainly he's in that community. And I know Mike's view on this is the same view I share.
So, just so you know, Mark, it's not just the Roman Catholics that have people that have that resistance point. Unfortunately, the evangelicals are contaminated with that a little bit as well. So you'll go to a ministerial association of 30 pastors, and several of them embrace it right away. They weep, they repent, in essence, because they see that language, and they're like, wow, I have waxed cold toward the preborn, and this is really showing it up. They're inspired by it. But then you'll have a few others that say, I don't like the idea of going after the women. And I say to them, look, number one, according to the Constitution of Idaho in the U.S., there is no ex post facto law. We're not going after women who have gotten abortions that didn't know it was illegal. When they go get an abortion after November 2018, they're going to know it is first-degree murder, susceptible prosecution. There will be no excuse. And hopefully the murder statistics for the preborn will become like that for the born. There are only 25 born people murdered in the state of Idaho every year versus that 1,750 preborn babies.
I know. So you really are seeing that sense of repentance out there when you're making these kinds of presentations. You're seeing pastors and other church leaders truly coming to grips with what we've been complicit in.
I have, which is an amazing thing. This petition has been used by God already. Just because of its absolute truth put onto paper, it has caused some of these men to completely go introspective, examine abortion against the Word of God, and realize that they have not been quite thinking rightly. And we've had pastors tell us that they're, and these are of large churches, 1,000-person churches, that they, with their entire staff, wept over looking at this petition and realizing they weren't where they were supposed to be. And then they have been huge advocates for us and for the petition effort.
Scott, that's some of the most encouraging stuff I've heard in a long time. I really mean that sincerely, because you never know. We don't know how hardened the heart is, even in the evangelical community, because I've run into the same things you've run into. You know, we can only go so far. Everything gets viewed through a political lens, and you know, and we've got to remember we serve a big God, as it says in Second Chronicles, he's searching to and fro throughout the world to seek those whose hearts are strongly committed to him, and he will support them. So I'm still believing that God will support these efforts, but he's waiting for people to actually do something.
Yes, people need leadership. They need our visionary leadership. I'll give you an example. I was in a room recently with three Idaho state senators and five state representatives, and one of them was brand new elected, barely got elected. He had the narrowest margin. It's one of the only swing districts in the state. And all these other legislators who have been in office for one or two terms or longer, they basically looked at our petition. They're like, well, I don't know. I'm not sure it can be done. We agree with you. It is murder, but we're not sure it can be done. And one of them said, well, I don't think we should go after the mothers. We should only go after the abortionists. And this brand new elected guy stood up and he said, well, I'll tell you, I don't think we should go after the abortionists or the mothers. I'm the one to blame because I knew better and I never did anything about it. And that was an Idaho state senator. And the people in the room, I can tell, were moved by him. And that's what we need. We need people to stand up and say the truth. And then those who are a little bit weaker, God willing, will follow those people that are preaching the truth.
That's right. That's Philippians chapter 1, you know, Paul in prison. Embolden people. So, you know, we do need that kind of leadership. I just got a Facebook message from somebody who heads up a crisis pregnancy center here in Oklahoma who wants you to come and speak to their. Well, that's great. I mean, you know, we've got to build these networks, you know, and there's a lot of people like myself who were formerly ardent pro-life who have understood that that's not been the proper route. There's still millions of people that, given a chance to rethink that, will rethink that. So we have to get to them and persuade them of their own complicity. Mine was there. I had a season of repentance where I did truly grieve over my ignorance. And some of it was just that. But once I became aware of what I needed to do, I haven't stopped since. So, and that was fortunately years ago, but we've got a long way to go with a lot of other people. Scott, tell us how my listeners could help out up there. Now, most of them here are not here in are not in Idaho, but we've got Idaho listeners in our network. We know I'm going to be hammering them the next few days to get connected with you guys up there. But anything we can do in other parts of the country, you know, I don't see on your website any way to donate money. Is there?
Yeah, interestingly enough, that's a good point. Now, we're not collecting money. The main thing we need is we need Idahoans to know about the petition, those who are likely to agree with us, right? We go for the low-hanging fruit right now.
Sure. Yeah.
Many hands make lighter work. So how listeners across the country can help us is that they've got to put this out on social media so that as many people in Idaho know about the petition, know to go to our website, abolishabortionid.com, and get involved in circulating that petition, bringing it into their political clubs and organizations, their churches, their family, their friends, and just get the signatures and then mail them in to us, because that's the main thing we need right now. If it's a voluntary effort, then we need a lot of people involved. And if you have 2,000 people in the state of Idaho collecting signatures, they don't have to collect very many for us to be successful.
Right,
and to get that many people to know about it and to be involved with it, we've got to encourage them. People need an encouragement. You know, the amazing thing about Christians, they can know the right thing to do, but they've got to get pushed. It's that exhortation to the good work. Just tell your friends, share it, and say, hey, if you're in Idaho, help circulate. If you know anybody in Idaho, everybody shares it on the internet. If everybody shares it, even if they don't know someone in Idaho, then someone they know knows someone in Idaho. And people have to understand that there's not going to be an organization getting this done. It's going to take them, the people in Idaho, throughout the state, getting the actual number of signatures we need and getting them submitted. The only part I'm doing is trying to encourage people to get the information out there, and then we're handling the back-end administrative work of getting these signatures basically organized, submitted to the county clerks, and that sort of thing. So we need help.
How is Idaho on just dealing with signatures? Are you going to have to get another 10% like most states, because they'll disqualify so many? What's your experience?
We're going to need to go over 40%. We're going to need probably 85,000 signatures. Now, statistically, that should be easy to do. There should be at least 200,000 people in the state of Idaho that are registered voters that agree with us without much argument. And so we need to get a good portion of them. I'll tell you exactly how it works in Idaho. The really hard part, you have to actually, when you fill out the petition, you have to be an Idaho registered voter to sign it, and you actually have to put the address at which you're registered. Even if you're in the same county and you moved, they'll throw it out if you didn't put the actual address that is your current registration. And so the last drive that came just a little bit short, right before the November 2016 effort, they gathered 79,000 signatures. They actually had a higher than average toss out rate of like 46%, and they only ended up with 43,000 good signatures, and they at that point needed 47. They fell short.
Well, this is the game. I've been involved in a number of petition initiatives over the years, and you're right. I mean, you got to plan on this stuff. That's part of the strategy. I wish we could get dealt a different set of cards, but we're dealt the set of cards that we have, you know?
Yeah, the numbers you see on our website, by the way, on that map you mentioned, that is the higher number. I added the 40-plus percent. So that way people don't think, I only knew it. No, that's it. If we get that, we should get the number we need.
Well, listen, friend, you're a friend of my show, and I'd love to keep you in the loop, or have you keep me in the loop. I'll contact you from time to time, bring you on the air, and see what we can do to push it further, see what we can do to help at least get updates for the other states that are listening, because, I have believed for quite some time now that abortion is the defining civil rights issue going forward. If we can't be as courageous as Martin Luther King was back in the 50s and 60s and get on the streets and start defending something a lot more important than voting, actual innocent life, then there's something wrong with us as a society, and certainly within the context of the church, there's something wrong with us deeply there. So I want to stay in touch with you, Scott, and we'll continue to pray for your success up there and for God's glory, ultimately, that you guys are able to pull this off up there. So I appreciate you very much calling in, and I look forward to talking to you in the future, friend.
Thank you very much, Mark. I look forward to talking to you again. And then, yes, have your listeners pray, because I forgot to mention, we could use their prayers, because that'll move the heart of God to raise up an army here.
Amen. Amen. All right, Scott, thanks so much. I'll be in touch with you.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, friend.
Okay, that was my interview last week on the Mark Kresland Show on the Veritas Radio Network. You can again find them. They're a premium radio channel with a lot of great programming. Mark, in particular, covers a lot of subjects that would be of interest to some of our listeners. And you can even find him at markkreslands.com. He actually has a show prep there. You can subscribe to their channel and get their premium pass and listen to their programming, and that's via the VeritasRadioNetwork.com website. We do appreciate him having me on the program, and also appreciate that he understands the petition and what we're trying to do and supports the efforts of states to turn back the clock and, even better, abolish abortion in their sovereign states as first-degree murder and end the abortion holocaust in each of these states and abolish it altogether. So this is Abolitionist Radio. We welcome your feedback. You can write us by email, feedback@abolitionistradio.com. And thanks for listening.
Tried to be a good boy, but I ain't a boy no more. I've seen some things that a man just can't ignore. And this world's gonna see what I'm standing for.
Thank you for listening to Abolitionist Radio on the Reconstructionist Radio Podcast Network. To learn more, visit abolitionistradio.com and abolishhumanabortion.com.
You can't keep me quiet, I will break the noise. Try to beat me down. Shut my mouth, but there's a time to speak, and the time is
Reconstructionist Radio Podcast Network brings to you a complete lineup of podcasts where you will hear practical and tactical theology. Our desire is not simply that you consume our shows, but that you also live out your faith in every area of life. We can talk all day long about these things, but if we fail to put them into practice, then we fail as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, our King. Subscribe now to your favorite Reconstructionist Radio Podcast Network shows, or you can subscribe to the Reconstructionist Radio Master Feed, where all of the content we produce, including the audiobooks and audio articles, will pop up as soon as they are available. And don't forget to visit ReconstructionistRadio.com to volunteer as a narrator or to partner with this ministry financially. May the Holy Spirit stir you into action for Christ and His kingdom.